Hey, it's me again. I keep showing up. I'm not going anywhere. I refuse to die. Haha. This is Jen.
And this is Scary.
And we are doing Depp Heads and Hiddlestoners, episode Big 82. Man, we are getting up there, Carrie.
You're 82.
Number 82, I'm telling you, it's not going to be long. Got another 18 episode, well, 17, and then we're gonna do our big birthday.
So, you've done the math. When are we essentially going to be at episode 100?
All right, let's see. Let me pull my calendar up here. Give me just a second. And of course, it's not on my, I gotta actually go to my phone and do that.
Because I remember a couple of weeks ago, we ended up talking about this, and it's in 2023.
Let's see.
Hitting 100 episodes. All of this research, all of the knowledge.
Yeah. Right around Thanksgiving, actually. November 22nd will be, if we record once a week, as we usually do, the 100th episode will be on November 22nd or
Nice.
November 23rd.
Yeah, definitely 2023.
Yeah. Oh yeah, 2023. But yep, we are, and we've got our birthday celebration, which I had to do the math to work it out and figure out why, but we've missed several weeks as far as recording goes. There were several weeks in January and February that we didn't record at all. So yeah, I was trying to figure out why, with 52 weeks a year, why our birthday was is the last week of October, but yet we're not going to hit our 100th episode until the last week of November. But yeah, we just missed a few here and there, and we postponed some, we didn't do some. So yeah, it all works out. But yeah, we've got and did you realize, because with me doing the math and being the one to schedule everything, we have a big celebration about once every 4 months. We have Hiddleston's birthday in February. And then we have our big, or we have Johnny's birthday in June. And then we do our big birthday bash in September, or October, sorry, in October. So, but once every 4 months, we have a big 2 hour long to do, which I believe you're in charge of this year's birthday, aren't you?
Man, I can't wait. Absolutely.
All
Yep.
right.
And I've got some pretty great ideas. I've been working on it, which is funny because I haven't worked on my own online profile, but I've been writing down with pencil and paper some
Awesome.
really great angles for the birthday celebration. Maybe
Very
you
cool.
shouldn't have given me that power because I would have put it towards my profile.
Bull. You haven't done your profile in a year. I don't want to hear
Anyway,
it.
82, 82. That's really great.
Episode 82, and we are, as we delved into Johnny Depp's laundry list of co-stars, we're going to be doing the same with Tom Hiddleston. And my God, his list is almost as stellar as Johnny's. I mean,
I was going to ask, what are your impressions? So it goes pretty deep, right?
it really does. But think about it. Johnny has POTC. He's got Pirates of the Caribbean, big franchise, and he's got the Harry Potter franchise. However, Hiddleston has the entire MCU. I
You
mean,
know,
okay.
plus other stuff.
Oh yeah, no, and he's done a lot of stuff that's not MCU related, but he's got the entire MCU. What is the first name you think of? The very first name that pops into your head, Carrie, when I say co-stars of Tom Hiddleston?
Honestly, it's Robert Downey Jr.
Really? Because my first is Chris Hemsworth.
Okay.
Very first thing, and it's funny, neither one of us mentioned females. Of course, if you say female co-star of Tom Hiddleston. It's going to be one of two.
I'm going to go with either Natalie Portman or Scarlett Johansson.
Really? I was thinking it was going to be one of two, but I was not thinking either one of those.
Or Brie Larson.
Ah, okay. I didn't even think of her either. I was thinking that you would say either Elizabeth Debicki or Mia Wasikowska. Wasikowska.
Oh, that was overlooked.
Tell
yeah,
you what.
Mia certainly.
Mia is a bit of a strange bird herself now. She's extremely talented. However,
self-made.
Huh?
She's self-made.
Yes.
You know.
Oh yeah.
She did a lot of this stuff independently of her parents.
Oh yeah, definitely. But what I was talking about more along the lines of was she's brilliant behind the camera. Or in front of the camera, sorry, so to speak. She's absolutely brilliant, but she's just as brilliant behind the camera. She's already done some producing, some directing. However, all of that, she's a lot like Johnny. She is very socially awkward and not real good with people.
Yeah.
You know, she's like a lot of us. We're all a bit strange in our own way.
Yeah.
And she just kind of tends to let that strangeness just right out in front.
Yep.
But hey. And you mentioned one of my all-time favorite actresses. Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. Oh.
The two or three scenes that Tom and Scarlett are in together are just electric.
Oh, wow. Absolutely.
I mean, you could cut the tension with a knife. They're very good at playing off each other as far as emoting, getting the right feel to the scene.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but those two, wow.
Yeah, you know, and I think there's a discrimination, if you will, with, you know, you have good looking male actors, you know, DiCaprio, Brad Pitt, or Johnny.
Yep.
and frankly, Tom, where they're as Don Henley would call it, brutally handsome.
Yes.
But they're amazing actors. But, you know, you don't really equate that with a lot of female actresses. Brutally beautiful.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
But I really do think that, I mean, actually, I think it's obvious. Scarlett Johansson is a fantastic actress.
She's incredible.
You know, you can say what you want, and if you want, we can take the MCU stuff out of the equation. A lot of her work.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Ghost in the Shell, Ghost World with Thora Birch.
Yep.
She's a damn good actress.
She really is, and she can sell you any part.
Uh-huh. Charlize Theron is kind of that sort of actress.
Yes. God, I did not believe it was her in, what was the movie called?
Monster?
Yes.
Right.
I was like, there's no way that's her.
You know, she will transform her body and put on 25 pounds that's not flattering.
Right.
To play that role.
Well, Waiting for the Barbarians, Johnny had to put on about 30 extra pounds.
No kidding.
Oh, well, in the recent pictures, remember I told you it looked like he was having trouble getting rid of that weight.
Well, that's because he did a film role, I suppose.
Yes, it's Waiting for the Barbarians. He's a thick guy in that one. And I mean,
have got to see this film.
It's apparent in his face. Like, I mean, you can pad or wear, you know, the stuffing underneath your clothes all you want. It's not going to affect the way your face looks, the way your hands look. You know, Oh, I'm getting a phone call. It's my daughter. Give me just a second.
Right. Want to call me back?
Mickey! Mickey!
Hello?
You're on speaker. We're doing Deaf Heads and Hiddlestoners.
I thought you did that on Thursdays. My bad.
Okay. Say hi to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
But yeah, since we were already recording, what? Who's your favorite Tom Hiddleston co-star?
Oh, I have no idea.
I mean, you got the whole MCU to choose from. Come on, there's got to be somebody.
We'll go with the Black Widow chick.
Yep. We were, matter of fact, we were just talking about her. Me and Carrie were.
Yeah.
All right, so that's...
Because she's hot.
Yes, she is. Can I give you a call back, dear?
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, baby, I'll give you a call back shortly.
All right, good luck with your podcast.
Thank you, baby. Love you.
All right, love you, too.
Bye-bye. Hey, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Mickey's vote goes with Scarlett Johansson.
Can't blame him.
And in her, in Mickey's own words, oh yeah, that bitch is hot.
Yeah. Like, to me, it is a forefront of the who's hot for Tom.
Oh, yeah. And she, but now, even when she looks sloppy, she still looks good. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, in a pair of, you know, in a t-shirt and a pair of sweatpants. She makes it look like Britney Spears on Holiday.
Yeah, right, right.
It's incredible. I wish I had that talent. Me,
it's rare.
Well, I put on a pair of sweatpants and an old beat up t-shirt and I look like I just crawled out of bed. Well, yeah, you've seen me in beat up t-shirts and sweatpants, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, and you do have some people that the more they dress down, the better they look.
No kidding,
and
right?
Perhaps your case. You know, whenever people put on makeup, you're like, I really wish you wouldn't have put on the makeup.
Yeah, it doesn't look like you anymore.
Exactly. That being said, Scarlett Johansson can kind of do both.
She can.
It's strange, and it's incredibly rare where you have a beautiful woman that can glam it up.
And also dress it down.
Right, right, right.
Another one is, her name just slipped out of my head. Again, she was in Ever After. She was in Never Been Kissed. Firestarter.
Drew.
Yes, thank you. Drew Barrymore is another one that can do just that. She can do the... You know, dressed to the nines and the makeup and the hair and look spectacular. And she can be in a t-shirt and a pair of sweatpants and still look spectacular. Mm-hmm. With her hair pulled up in a ponytail. She just looks cute. So.
You know, she sort of has the age, well, not the age advantage, but the career advantage. You know, at this point, and I've seen the Drew Barrymore show, and it's not that I'm seeking this out, by the way, but Drew Barrymore has her own talk show.
Really? Now, see, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, for the past couple of years, and
so I watch TV,
people
so.
Really, really like it.
Good.
That being said, you know, now we're talking Drew at basically our age, maybe a little bit younger. And she's kind of settled into this vibe where she's like the wine mom, if that makes any sense.
Yes. Yes, it does.
You know, yeah, right. You know, and she really doesn't give a shit. Actually, and she wears it well. She's like, they paid me to do this, and I really enjoy doing talk shows. Good for her. You know, Winona has never given a shit.
But, Winona from the beginning was just like, yeah, I'm going to do what I want to. Fuck y'all.
Yep. And that ended up, you know, allowing her to kind of set the trends and that sort of thing. And there's the difference with that.
Yeah, that is true. But yeah, and Winona did a lot of the trend setting with the short hair and the the more, I don't want to say really masculine, because she's never looked masculine.
No, she was always kind of a fairy.
But,
you know, but as, you know, as Winona ages, it's not the same thing. You know, and these are contemporaries, if you will, of, like, say, Johnny. You know, and Johnny is not the same.
Right.
As he used to be.
Well, is anybody.
I love that we're examining two actors, that Tom is the younger one, and he's on the business end of 43, which a lot of people would say that's old. I totally disagree. But they're co-stars also.
Right.
You know, and we're looking at, yeah, Scarlett, I don't know how old she is, but she's certainly in her 40s, right? And still looking stunning.
Drew Barrymore is a year younger than me.
Huh, what?
She was born February 22nd, 1975.
Man, that girl has been working a long time. I remember E.T.
E.T., Firestarter?
Firestarter. Firestarter.
Oh, yeah.
So, is there a correlation, as far as you can tell, since you're the degrees of separation person, is Drew closer to Johnny or closer to Tom? Would you say? I mean, you don't even have to.
As far as what? As far as her attitude? Well, as far as.
Being involved with each other and their projects, and also artistically. It seems like she is definitely more Johnny artistically, but I do kind of wonder.
I think she's got more of a head on. I think the head on her shoulders is a lot more like Tom.
I always think of the chemical dependency problems that she had, and that's why I kind of equate her, I think, to Johnny.
I think I would equate her more with Robert Downey Jr. than I would Johnny.
Oh. Oh.
Because she conquered those problems, if I remember correctly. She got through it. She fought her way through.
And I think that's such an accurate.
She was married to Ryan Reynolds?
Who?
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, for like a year and a half, I think.
2008-2011. Mm. She is actually, she's actually younger than Tom. She's 38. Born 1984. See, I thought she was closer to my age. Not because she looks older, simply because of how well she carries herself.
Yeah. And her career is.
Yeah, the expanse of her career is just so incredible.
Yes.
Robert Downey Jr., you also mentioned a little bit earlier. That is another that I remember some of his roles as a child actor. You know, some of the roles he was in as a kid.
Yeah.
But none of them were very impressive. Sorry, they really weren't.
Yeah.
As far as child actors goes, the kid that passed away just here recently, Disney star. What the hell was his name? Played in Descendants. He played Cruella DeVille's son. Played Carlos.
I know BB.
Cameron Bryce.
Right.
That kid died at age 19, and his career was much more impressive than the than the young version of Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
But after he got through with the law and the and the drugs and the being an absolute asshole because he had money, he actually turned into one of my favorite actors of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just incredible. And he's such an incredible human being.
Yeah.
It's
very tragic.
What?
Well, just these. Well, I mean, that would be a separate show, of course. But
the child actors that, or the actors that passed away.
Involved with Disney.
Yeah. There's been a lot of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, Colin Bryce is he was an amazing actor. He's incredible. He had to have done a guest appearance on one show or another, because somebody sent me a scene of, and it's the characters from the movie Descendants, but it's his death scene. He's in the hospital and he dies. And I'm going, holy, when did they, why did they take, what? It's got to be a guest shot on another series is all I can think.
Yeah.
But if anybody knows what series that is and what show it is, let me know. I'd love to be able to check that out. But yeah, it's, and of course other people have put, in memory of posts on YouTube and stuff, and they're all very touching. There are parts of his funeral that were recorded and are public. So, and I think that was very sweet for the fans, you know, to do the recording of the funeral so that the fans that could not be there. And I mean, to be perfectly honest, the fans are not welcome at something like that. That is not for the fans. That is for the family. And no matter how much you believe you know these people, and no matter how much you love these people, they don't know you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's definitely. But the way they did it was very, very nice. The way the family did it, so that they could include the fans, and so the fans would feel like they were not forgotten.
Right. I think that that would have been a great last wish.
I think it was incredible the way they did things.
I agree.
And Disney, with Disney being how they are and how they've treated like Johnny in the past, I was kind of surprised. Descendants, first three movies, I love them all. I have them all. I am a Descendants fan. I love Dove Cameron. I love Cameron Bryce. I love all of them. I think they're incredible. And the storylines are just sweet. I mean, they really, truly are. But they were in production of making the fourth movie when Cameron passed away. They halted production. It's been put on a shelf, and there are no plans to bring it back down anytime soon.
Yeah, good. Let's keep it going.
I just thought that was incredibly feeling and to be commended by Disney. And it wasn't because, oh, we can't find somebody else. Yeah, number one, nobody wants that part. Nobody wants to try to fill his shoes. But I'm sure they could find someone to do it.
Yeah,
but
you know,
it wouldn't be the same.
No, and I think that Disney has good enough writers to where they can basically,
I think they're going to kill him.
Work around it.
I think they're going to kill him. I think they're going to kill the character.
And it'll be a noble death.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, I'm sure. It would have to be. Otherwise, they'd get lynched.
Yeah.
But Robert Downey Jr., to get back on subject, oh my goodness, he turned his life around in the space of about 10 years. He went from being the poster boy for this is what Hollywood produces kind of thing. You know,
Yes. Both
parents are actors. You know, he's born rich, silver spoon, blah, 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 gets away with everything, in trouble with drugs, in trouble with the law, doing this, doing that. He went from all of that to being the guy who comes on set in the middle of a room with a bunch of extras that are standing there. And he looks around and goes, did nobody think to bring chairs? Let's all sit down. Everybody sit down. Come on. I'm sitting down. You sit down. I'm sitting down. It's more comfortable to sit down. Come on, everybody sit down. That scene in Iron Man, that is all ad-lib. That is all Robert Downey Jr. doing.
Yep, and you know, it's still probably one of my top three favorite MCU movies was the Iron Man movie. And when it comes down to it, a lot of that was just Robert Downey Jr. And Jon Favreau.
Yes.
Allowing a lot of these things to happen. And it was magic.
It really was. I can't remember which director it was, but one of them had said, matter of fact, I think it was the movie Benny and June. So whoever directed that one, he said that there were times when Johnny would come on set and instead of doing as they rehearsed or as the script said, he just let the camera roll and just told them, keep the camera on Johnny. Just see, well, let's just see what he does.
Capture the magic.
When he goes up to, when he goes up to the painting that's on the easel in her room that very first night.
Yeah.
And he goes to touch it and she goes, oh, no, wet. And he takes he touches the tip of his finger to it, touches it to his tongue, and he goes, it's paint. She goes, yes.
Right. That was natural.
That was all ad lib. I mean,
yeah.
A lot of the fact that he, when he goes to fill out the application at the cafe, you'll notice he's using his left hand. Johnny's not left-handed. He is right-handed. But Sam, the character he plays, is supposed to be very ill-educated. He's not supposed to be book smart at all. He's not supposed to have a whole lot. He's not supposed to be able to read a whole lot or write very well. So Johnny used his left hand when he was writing so that the handwriting would be childish and sloppy. Tell me that's not a man who thinks about the parts he's playing.
Yeah, he did some character, like the character quirk sort of stuff with Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he developed that character, and Rodriguez was like, great, Johnny, we're going to use it.
Oh, one of my favorite Johnny stories is the makeup department on the original Pirates of the Caribbean. They had to darken the makeup on all of the actors significantly when they were shooting in the cave because they were actually in a cave. This was not a set. This was not made up. This was actually a cave in the Bahamas.
Cave.
Mm-hmm. But they had to darken the makeup significantly so that it would show up on camera. And it was only supposed to be for those scenes in the cave. Until Johnny stepped out in the sunlight and the makeup girl saw how fucking devastatingly gorgeous he was with that heavier makeup. And they decided to keep it on him all the time.
Yeah. Right. As you should.
Oh, yes. Not that he needs makeup to look good. The man looks good no matter what. But
you know, I've been looking over the Tom's co-star.
Okay.
Assignment and preparation for the episode. And we talked about the MCU, of course, and that's going to link a lot of people. But I can't help but notice that he was in Muppets Most Wanted.
Yes.
2014.
He was in it for all of a minute and a half, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, but that being said, it really connected him to some interesting people.
Oh, yes.
Because that was a star-studded extravaganza, really.
Oh, the Muppets, after about 1985. The Muppets, it started being it was a coup to get into one of the Muppets movies.
Yeah, right. You know, there was a nostalgia of the Muppet Show. Plus, come on, man, it's the Muppets.
It's the Muppets. It's Jim Henson.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, so who did it connect? Who did it connect Hiddleston to through Muppets Most Wanted? Who did, what name did you jumping out at you?
I think that this is very interesting, but one of the female lead was Tina Fey.
Yes.
You know, which we know her from a long stint on Saturday Night Live, not only as a performer, but as a writer. And, of course, she did 30 Rock. And
oh, so I didn't know that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And she actually wrote Mean Girls.
Uh-huh.
So you could kind of connect Lindsay Lohan now at this point.
Well, yeah.
To Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, I guess you could.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you just think about it.
2 degrees.
If you just think about all the people who have worked with the Muppets over the years.
Yeah, and you know, also I can't help but
there's one name that keeps popping up and it keeps jumping at me that we haven't mentioned yet.
Throw it on me.
And it pops up for both Johnny Depp and Tom Hiddleston. And he is an amazing actor. He's an incredibly talented individual. Can play pretty much any part. I love him to death. You love to hate him. Tom Hollander.
Such a necessary actor.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, he's truly incredible. I mean, he was in The Night Manager. Played the bad guy who was Hugh Laurie, which is another co-star that we need to talk about. A man that I did not know was English until I researched The Night Manager.
Yeah, he does a lot of quote-unquote American roles.
He prefers American roles. He says they're easier. The English are much more exacting.
Sorry, that tickled me.
That was it. Hey, that's his. That's his voice, not mine.
That kind of makes sense in a way, I guess. But he would certainly know being English.
Oh yeah. Yep. But yeah, so Hugh Laurie is another incredible actor. But he played Cutler Beckett on Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
So he was Johnny's nemesis. In the Pirates series, and he was Tom's nemesis in the Night Manager series.
Yeah.
So, and actually, he, much more than Hugh Laurie's character, was Tom's nemesis in the Night Manager.
He really was. He was the direct, you know, contact threat.
Well, and Hugh Laurie's character trusted and believed Jonathan Pine.
Yeah.
Whereas Corky absolutely did not. Not from the very beginning.
Right.
Yeah, everything was just adding up way too conveniently, and he didn't like it, and he was right. Mm-hmm. Ended up getting him killed because of it. Tom ended up killing him to keep him quiet.
I can't help but think that those two were very good friends.
I would have to say they probably are.
You know, certainly professionally, they certainly prefer working with each other.
Oh, yeah. You
know. And you do have these actors, I would think, that are like, you know, friends or no, I really love working with this guy.
Right.
Tom Hollander seems like one of those actors where you're like, you know, I want to work with him.
Yeah.
He's going to bring a lot to the film.
Right, exactly. But yeah, that being said, I would love to know if Tom if he stands by the statement he made early on in the Thor, or the MCU, the MCU films, because he said once that Chris Hemsworth was his all-time favorite person ever to work with. That he just made him a better actor. All of his best scenes were with Chris.
What?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He said all of his best scenes were done with Chris. He was his favorite actor to work with. He just made Chris made him a better actor.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, since he's expanded quite a bit as far as his co-stars, if he still stands by that statement.
You know, I wonder too. We've seen the behind the scenes footage of him interacting with Hemsworth.
Oh yeah, those two. And
Hemsworth has a great body of work himself. You know, a lot of people are like, you know, he's an Australian surfer turned actor.
So
great, whatever.
So
So. That being said, I think the guy's got some chops, and I could see another actor kind of feeding off of that energy with Hemsworth.
I have to say, with Hemsworth, if I'm remembering correctly, and I'm checking just to be sure, but if I remember correctly, one of Chris's teenage roles was on a little show on Nickelodeon called iCarly.
He did do a guest spot. It was a major guest starring.
Yeah, it was. He was an intern.
Yeah.
Yeah. They picked him because he was gorgeous. Well, so Freddie goes out and gets an intern that is not too bright, but she's pretty. And they're told him he needed to get rid of her. And he said, fine, sure, as soon as you get rid of your feminine idiot. But I love iCarly anyway. So
yeah, I do too.
I've seen the whole series. The last episode made me cry. But yeah.
You know, if you don't mind me throwing this name out, and I think another actress that's really, really fantastic in so many roles, but, you know, we have Elizabeth Olsen.
Okay, yeah.
Well, you know, she was Scarlet Witch, and there's your MCU.
Yeah.
Easy, no problem. But I saw a light. You know, there
was. That's right. She was in that one, wasn't she? I'd forgotten that. I've got to see that movie.
Yeah, she was Audrey. She was Audrey Williams, Hank's first wife.
Damn.
Really, good people. She's a great actress. She's a great actress.
Oh, man. Yeah. Once again, a great actor or actress is one that makes you believe the part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know how many times I've heard somebody talk about an actor in the same manner as they would the character they play.
Correct, yes.
You know,
and
like,
that's the distinction.
And it's like that they're just acting. That's not really who they are. But if they sell it to you, if they're that good at it, and they sell that part to you that well, you know, that is what defines being a good actor as far as I'm concerned. If they can convince you that that's who they are, that's a good actor. And she does such a dynamic job with Multiverse of Madness is incredible. But the part she plays in it is so... It's very deep. I mean,
yes,
it's incredibly deep. And yes, I love the MCU, but no, I haven't seen all the movies. No, I didn't. I had to look it up when she started talking about her children. And I'm like, when did she? They never had kids. What?
But yeah.
So I didn't know what she was talking about, but the fact that she was talking about them in such a strong and, you know, the way that you could tell how bad she was hurting by the way she acted, by the look on her face, by the tone of voice, all of these things. And if you did not stop to think, oh, this is a movie, this is not real, you're sitting there going, oh my God, that poor woman. Oh man, they took her kids away from her. I feel so bad.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a movie. Hello. But you think.
You know, a lot of people had problems with WandaVision. You know, they thought it was too much of a slow burn.
I loved it. I thought it was cheesy as hell, and that's what I liked about it.
I kind of thought, and it was cheesy, but it was purposefully cheesy.
Right.
And I think that it was pretty brilliant, and Elizabeth was the person to kind of do that. It was so mental.
Did you see the episode where Vision got a hold of gum?
Yeah.
I love that one.
Yeah, but, you know, she's legit. And if you want to do a who's hot or who's not, I'm going to go ahead and be shallow and say she's hot.
Oh, definitely. Chris Hemsworth, definitely hot as well.
I will certainly agree with you on that.
Hugh Laurie is closer to the not, but, you know, each his own.
But his charisma is off the charts.
Yes.
You know, he's that guy that I absolutely believe him when he was in house and he was, I forgot the name of the hospital director, the female, you know, that romance, I literally thought to myself, and I'm sure that it didn't happen, but I'm like, I think they might have done it in real life.
Yeah. And a lot of times, and when you get, well, it's same thing with like Johnny Depp and Christina Ricci. There's just, it's so, there's such a draw, there's such a magnetism between the two of them.
Yes.
But Christina Ricci's response to that was, oh, ew, that's my uncle.
Yeah, they're family.
You know, she feels like, I mean, she talks to Johnny and treats Johnny as if he was family, and he does her the same way. You know, so, but on screen, you would swear be damned that they were lovers. Not just in like Sleepy Hollow, but The Man Who Cried is a very intense movie which stars Christina and Johnny.
Well, and you know, I would dare say you don't have a lot of male actors or female actors that would be able to do that and there wasn't something going on, but they are so artistic that there actually wasn't anything going on.
Yeah.
They were just giving everything and you felt it when you watched it.
And one of, there was an actress, and I tried to, it might have been Elizabeth Taylor now that I think about it, but one of the old school actresses had said that, because someone made the comment that in her younger days they had heard that she slept with her co-stars, and she said, well, yes, of course I did, but only after the film was done. And they said, what, why? You know, why would you wait? Why not use that energy while you're recording? And she goes, oh, because to start with, if I don't know, if I'm imagining what they're going to be like in bed, that helps with the acting. That makes the animal magnetism just up that much more. It increases that sexual tension. She's like, but once I, you know, once I have them in the sack and they're no good, oh, the whole movie's ruined.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, she admitted to sleeping with her co-stars, but only after the film was done.
You know, Vivian Leigh, who was Scarlett, of course, in Gone with the Wind, and got a lot of just countless films, but she actually would, I don't think she did it with Clark Gable, but she actually did it after. Yeah, and that seems to be a pretty good goddamn policy. I mean, I'm sure that you're wet through the whole goddamn process, but you've got a job to do, and there is chemistry.
And it's more incentive to get your lines right the first fucking time.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to be distracted thinking about that D.
Well, and you don't want to be having to go over trying to get to that D. You don't want to have to be going over the same lines over and over and over again.
Right in the trailer.
Yeah, get that shit right the first time and be done with it.
Yeah, you're a professional.
Yeah, I could certainly see how that would tend to boost. We mentioned her.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, we've talked about the females a bit. Let's talk about who's hot on the male co-star with Tom. What have you got?
All right, two names pop up almost simultaneously. We've mentioned
besides
them both. Chris Hemsworth and Robert Downey Jr. Hot. Oh, my God. Robert Downey Jr. without a shirt on is freaking impressive, and he's 4 years older than Johnny. Yeah, I think he's 64.
Really?
If I'm remembering correctly, hang on, I'll give you an exact. Let's see. Hang on. Robert Downey Jr. No, I'm sorry, he's 2 years younger. He is 58. He was born in 1965.
Yeah, at this point we're splitting hairs. Yeah, he's kind of our age.
Yeah. Robert Downey Jr. without a shirt on. Oh yeah, he's more impressive than most guys you know, half or a quarter of his age. I mean, he's just, and the thing is, once again, it's not just, because yes, he's beautiful, but he is an absolutely amazing person.
Yeah.
He, when he turned his life around, he literally turned his entire life around.
He's like inside and out.
He started making it a habit, just like Robin Williams did when, before he passed. He's made it a habit that any movie that he agrees to act in, there has to be a clause built into it that they hire X number of homeless people as extras.
Wow.
You know, if anytime he is on set, anytime he's making a movie, he makes it a point to go and talk to the extras, to go and introduce himself to these people, to, you know, be like, hey, what's up? How's the set? You know, how are they? Are you being treated okay? How is everything? And yeah, he's not going to have time to do a one-on-one, you know, be your best friend with every single extra that's on set. But the fact that he actually takes the time to stop and to do that is incredible. My daughter was on a vampire series for a couple of years. She was an extra. You know, she does not have a name in the thing, but she was on there for a couple of years.
But they kept calling her.
Well, she kept showing up because that's all you had to do. You didn't have to sign a contract. You just had to show up. And they were filming right outside of her hometown. So she was an extra for a couple of years. And she said it was horrible. She said, if it was raining, you better bring an umbrella or you're going to get wet. If you didn't want to sit on the ground, you better bring a chair. If you thought you might get thirsty sometime between dawn and dark, you best bring yourself something to drink, because if you leave, you're not coming back. You know, if the only time they had tents set up specifically for the extras, but the only time the extras were made to go into the tents was when the stars were on the scene. She never once got anywhere close to any of these guys. And like I said, she was on the set. She was doing that for 2 or 3 years. Never got to meet any of them. Never got close to any of them. You know, it's just, it's a shame, really. But yeah, the fact that Robert does take the time to go and speak with the extras and to, you know.
It's so cool.
It's just very nice. I think it's awesome.
So cool.
But Chris Hemsworth, again, we all know how impressive he is with his shirt off. Of course, we're not even going to talk about without the pants, but.
Right.
He's got such
a cute
ass.
Well, we know about the best behind.
He still did not beat out the 2016 Rear of the Year. Sorry.
Which was Hiddleston?
Yes. Tom Hiddleston in 2016 got England's Best Rear of the Year award.
Right.
But, But still, he does have a pretty butt.
Can I throw two names at you? That Tom has had has shared the screen with.
Okay.
And your impressions.
And I've got one more name for you too. But go ahead.
Okay.
You first.
All right. So, and hot or not or what have you, even like cool factor, maybe actually kind of hot.
Okay.
But I am going to go to the fantastic cast that was on Kong Skull Island.
Okay.
Samuel Jackson.
Mm.
Now, as a guy, hot or not, I would like to think that people would think that he's hot. He's definitely one of the coolest, as Outkast said, the coolest motherfucker on the planet.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
Very cool.
And, of course, the MCU, you know, and he's Nick Fury.
Hot or not, I'm undecided on that one, actually.
But we agree.
Sharp.
Definitely one of the coolest.
Sharp. The man is sharp.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
He's so sharp he could cut wind. He is sharp.
Like a diamond.
I mean, really, he is just, he's impressive.
He is. And, you know, we haven't really talked enough about Samuel Jackson.
Maybe we should do a show on him.
Or maybe two. Let's face it, the man's career spans since at least the 80s.
True. I'll tell you what.
You know.
Let's say we'll do a show, we'll do next week on him.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly two shows, depending on what all I dig up.
Okay. Well, let me throw, while you're thinking about that, let me throw the second name in there. And definitely not hot, I don't know, maybe, but also just as cool, and part of the Skull Island cast, John Goodman.
Oh, I love John Goodman. I'm sorry. I am sorry. I love John Goodman. I think he's hot as shit.
Okay.
Do you ever see him in Coyote Ugly?
I haven't seen that film in 20 years. That being said, I loved it when I saw it. And I saw it in the theaters.
Oh, wow.
What was he in Coyote Ugly?
He was what's her name's dad?
Okay.
Yep. But she, do you remember when she auctions off her boyfriend to make the money for the fine for the fire department, for the fire marshal?
Yeah.
Okay, well, at the very end, she's like, okay, we're going to do a time-honored tradition. We're going to auction off. And the boyfriend's going, oh, God, no, not again. And she auctions off her dad.
Yep.
And he's up on the bar, and he's shaking his butt, and he's...
Yep.
I love John Goodman. I really do. I think he's hot as hell.
Absolutely.
I've got one for you, and this is actually from Crimson Peak.
Okay.
Charlie Hunnam.
Charlie Hunnam.
Hunnam. He's the one who played the doctor.
Oh.
On Crimson Peak. He was also
Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, Sons of Anarchy. It took me a minute to reconcile that those two were the same people.
That guy is a guy that does not play himself. He's a chameleon, and
yes,
he is always successful.
Yes. And he can, once again, he can play any part. And I'm sorry,
yes,
in Crimson Peak, he was not hot. In
no.
Sons of Anarchy, oh my God, somebody get the fire extinguisher.
Yeah, right.
Because he is, with the scruffy beard and the leather and the denim, oh my God, he's smoking. But yeah, just see it, just with the slick sideways hair and the no, it just did not even look like him.
He was amazing in Pacific Rim.
Yes.
And you know, I love that. And hell, he was on Queer as Folk.
What?
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna have to check that one out.
And he's just done, a lot of really, really great work. And maybe he's keeping kind of a low profile like Mia has been doing.
Yeah, no, she has been keeping it on the DL just big time. And we're coming up on it, but there's one more name. We've mentioned her briefly. I want to bring her back up because she is also a truly, truly incredible actress. And one I hope to see, maybe not more of, because I think we saw just about as much of her as there is to see in Night Manager. But I hope we do get to see her more often. Miss Elizabeth Debicki.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is, okay, and aside from the fact that she's 6'3".
Yeah.
She is a full foot and an inch taller than me. Oh, my God. But aside from that, she's an incredible actress. She
yes.
is another that can sell you any part.
Really? Really? You know, she does prosthetics and makeup fantastically and sells you on that character. She's her naturally and sells you on that character.
Yep.
She reminds me a lot of Gwendolyn Christie, who was on Game of Thrones. She was Captain Phasma.
Oh, in, okay.
Yeah, the new Star Wars movies. She was Lucifer and Sandman. Everybody knows who she is.
Right.
And, I mean, she's like 6 foot two, yeah. 6 foot three.
Well, see, there used to be not a place for women that were that big. Unless they were making a movie about the Amazons, you were not going to find a place for, you were not going to find a role apart for women. Who were that tall?
You know, and I kind of think that, like, in Gwendolyn Christie's sort of thing, she was like, yes, I am that Amazonian, but I'm also going to bring depth to this.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to be a damn good actress. And I think that Elizabeth is of that cut to where she's like, yep, I am, you know, 6 foot three and
but
what have you. But
what did she say? We were talking about it when we did The Night Manager again. She made the comment that, you know, yeah, I'm 6'3". There is nothing I can do about it. I cannot affect that one way or the other. However, my acting is something I can affect, and that's what I do.
Yeah, right, right.
You know.
She must act.
And she's incredible at it. But yeah, okay, contact information, because we are coming down to it. We are actually right on time. We have 3 minutes. So, contact information. Guys, give us a call. Send us a text. Give us an email. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. Hey, you want to be on the show? We're open to that idea. Just let us know. We've got many ways to contact us. Carrie, go ahead and give your personal, and then I will give the Deadpads and Hiddlestoners.
Okay. So, mako3303@hotmail.com. No spaces. And on PlayStation Network, I'm Traveler2300, and I can't help but notice after we started talking about dictator killers, who I suspect listens to the show,
okay,
has been very, very quiet the past couple of weeks.
I wonder why.
I don't know who this mystery person is.
I wonder why they would get...
I really don't.
Yeah, I wonder why they would you know, get your attention to start with and then just get quiet.
I'm total hypothesis here, but I think that it was like kind of a prod
to see if you were who they thought you were.
I recognize you, right? Right, and was doing like a reconnaissance sort of thing,
maybe,
and not trying to pull you out because I mean, dictator killers is not your Christian name, but. At this point, I will definitely do it. A $50 PlayStation Network credit to just let it go.
Hey, all right, you heard it.
It's killing me.
Dictator Killers, you've got a $50 PlayStation gift card waiting on you. All you got to do is contact Traveler
2300.
Traveler 2300.
Two L's, no spaces.
Two L's, no spaces. Okay. All right. Or give us a call here. We've got the dedicated phone line. You call us, leave us a message, tell us when to call you back, and we will tell us who you want us to call you back, and we'll make sure that happens. Yeah. That number is 949-373-5476, and that phone is usually on. So if it's not answered, we'll get back with you. We also have depheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com. We have the blog, which is depheadshiddlestoners.com. Or you can go through barryreese.net and click the link. So if you say you didn't know how to get in touch with us, you're a liar.
So many avenues.
So, it looks like I'm going to be doing research after I upload this one. Looks like we're doing some Samuel L. Jackson next week.
Dude, can't wait.
All right. That's going to be awesome. Anyway, until next time, we will be right here. All you got to do is give us a call. Check y'all later. Be good.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Jen.
Love and peace.
Peace and love, guys. Later.
Later.